flower farmers, are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you, farmerstoflorist.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability. You can connect with florists. You can get your name out there. You get listed in the directory, and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need, and they're not going to just try to sell you 5 gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So, no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes, get signed up. We are still offering a special if it is available. The first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived, so you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. And if this is your very first episode, welcome. So I run Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm here in central Minnesota, Zone 4B. And I hope that you find something helpful. So I want to talk about something fun real quick. I had what I consider a viral moment on Instagram last week for my coaching page. So again, I'm not Kardashian level, but 53,000 views on Instagram when I feel like I used to get like 5,000 to 10,000 views consistently on my farm page. And now it's been like 2,000 to 3,000 for the last like 6 months. But to me, on my little corner of flower farming internet, 53,000, hey, I got like 100 new followers from the video. So if you're one of them, hi, I'm glad you're here. Again, that's Flower Farmer Forum is the Instagram page for the podcast, the coaching, the behind the scenes tips of farming. So today's episode is all about dahlias, and we're going to talk about what I was doing in that reel and what are we doing differently this year to just simplify things and changes that we're doing to make our lives easier. Because keep in mind, dahlias want to grow. Okay. Your grandma planted them year after year and dug them up and threw them in her cellar in the wintertime, and they were just fine. So I think we sometimes overcomplicate dahlias. And yes, if we want maximum profitability and production and everything, yes, there are so many tweaks that can go a really long way, but they can be so intimidating that I think, you know, there's dahlia groups on Facebook and people are just constantly like overthinking it. And I just want to share that, you know, in 4 years of growing dahlias, what I've done to make our lives easier and just some behind the scenes of how we're planting the field this year, what we're testing in the high tunnel, and how I plan to really stretch our bloom window without losing my mind. So let's just get this out of the way. We have very, very rocky soil. And I mean, it's rocky enough that digging individual holes feels like a punishment. Like, I relate to that meme so much where the little girl's like, I'm tired of this, grandpa. Like, well, that's too damn bad. Keep on digging. Like, that's what it feels like. And my husband like dug all the holes last year and he's like, this is terrible because there would be so many rocks. And so over the years, we've tried to improve everything. So in the fall, we dump a lot of compost, bag leaves, grass clippings, you know, we make our own compost. And this year we're layering some nutrient building cover crops in the fall. So this will be the first time that we're doing it this fall. So we haven't done it yet, but that'll hopefully help long term. But the thing is, it's a process. And I don't want to pretend like we're working with some like dreamy, loamy soil over here because we're not. But because of that, digging individual holes for our dahlia, it's just not efficient. And I've seen people use like augers and whatever, but my goal is to eventually get to like 2,000 dahlia plants. And we'll talk about that, but I cannot do individual holes for those dahlias. Like my back can't handle it and I don't want to. So we do trenches and we use the pallet fork of our skid steer. So honestly, like this was a game changer. It was so easy on our backs and it just gave us consistent planting depth and spacing without obsessing over the tubers. So here's what the layout looks like. I scaled back to two rows of dahlias per bed instead of three, because honestly, I think it's going to be easier to manage. There's better airflow, there's less crowding, and they support each other better when the storms hit than being three wide. So each row is 18 inches apart. And then in the trenches, every 12 inches, we're planting a tuber. So if I come across a tuber with no visible eye, I plant it anyway with a healthy one because sometimes they can surprise you. But worst case, you know, it's extra insurance policy in that spot, and maybe they'll be a little bit crowded there, but they're probably not going to come up. I also decided this year to skip the bone meal. So I've used it in the past during planting. It adds, you know, some of those nutrients, but our dog thinks that I buried him a snack buffet, so I don't do that anymore. So now when they come up, I use a hose end sprayer just with Neptune's Harvest fish emulsion. And every couple of weeks, when I remember, I spray them with fish emulsion. So I'd love to say that I'm religious about it, but with real life, sometimes I am not. All right, flower friends, we are going to take a quick break and I'm going to talk about Foundations of Petaling Perishable Products, or PPP for short. This started as a course with cohorts, but now it's a full-on membership. So you pay once for lifetime access to all of the course modules, which cover everything from sales and marketing to goal setting, legal, accounting, efficiencies, scaling, and more. Basically, how to actually run your flower business like a business, and how I took my business from a $7,000 hobby to literally a $500,000 revenue enterprise. And it's the foundations and the framework and the principles that I built on, because if you scale things that are not working, you're just scaling your problems. And so once you join, you are in. So you get access to the, not only do you get the whole course, but you get access to the private Facebook group of 40 plus members that are taking flower farming extremely seriously, a monthly Zoom call for the group where you can ask questions, get support, or just listen in. And there we cover a lot of growing things, but I also will share. You know, once a month, I'll say, hey guys, this is something I just learned. I'm going to teach you about, you know, the SMS texting marketing that I started doing with the husbands. And here's how I got them to sign up. And now they get a text a week before their anniversary or whatever it is. Like, or hey guys, I'm going to show you the behind the scenes on my Mother's Day flowers and how I did that reservation system. And this is how you use Calendly on the back end. Like, once a month, I show something like that. And then, of course, everyone can ask like growing questions, whatever. You also get lifetime access of exclusive replays of our quarterly webinars. Those are the public webinars that we do for this podcast. So now everyone can join those live. You have to sign up, but the replay is only for the members. And that is because I pack those with behind the scenes strategy of my farm. So, like, hey, this is how I grew my farm to this. And here's the behind the scenes of the revenue. And here's the expenses that it actually takes to get there. I'm not going to put those out on the public podcast anymore. If you sign up, if you watch them live, you can see it for free. But if you don't watch it live, then you can only get the recording if you're a Foundations of PPP member. Plus, Foundations of PPP people get discounts for any of our in-person workshops and future courses. So events like Flower Farmer Forum, Farmer Florist Boot Camp, all of those things. There are three payment options to fit your budget. So there's a one-time fee of $1,000. You can do $100 a month for 12 months. So you save if you do the one time, or there's a middle ground of 6 months. So if you are serious about growing and ready to stop reinventing the wheel, please join our group.
there is a link in the episode notes where you can schedule a 15-minute phone call with me for free. Tell me about your dreams. Tell me about your goals. Tell me about your problems right now. And I will be honest, and probably a third of the people that I talk to, I'm like, you know, I don't think this is for you. I don't think it's going to be helpful. I will be honest if I don't think that it's what you need, because I do want to, you know, I take it seriously that someone's investing in themselves, and I equally want to be there to help them. And yeah, so if you are interested in joining Foundations of PPP, I invite you to schedule a 15-minute call with me. Sorry, that was a really long ad. Podcast producer Abby is going to be like, Liz, keep it to 90 seconds. But I can't, because Foundations of PPP is so much. It's not 90 seconds. Anyway, back to the episode.
So our rose that we plant within, if you've seen anything on our Instagram, if you've seen photos, if you've been to our farm, we're expanding to host more flower farm workshops here on the farm too. So make sure you check those out on our website, sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. Click on workshops. But we have rows that are 6 feet wide with a 4-foot grass path in between. Actually, it's like 4.5 feet. It's exactly as wide as our lawnmower. So of that 6-foot row, the center 2 feet is where the dahlias live. Those rows are that wide on purpose to let the dahlias grow out, but also we plant all the other you-pick stuff in that section as well. So like zinnias and things like that. And then we use the whole 6 foot. But the outer 2 feet of these 6-foot row on each side is landscape fabric. So think about it as 6 feet wide, 4 feet total is fabric, and 2 feet total is where the two rows of dahlias live if they're planted 18 inches apart. So I use the 4-foot DeWitt fabric, and I just burned a line down the middle of the fabric and I staked it in. So then it makes weeding the edges so much easier. My husband is very, very particular about, like, he puts the stakes in because he wants to be able to mow it quickly and not worry about the fabrics like snagging on the mower. And then that way in the middle of the row, the plants, once they start coming up, the tubers, sometimes they're 15 inches apart, even though we made the rows 18, but if the tubers angled a certain way, you know, but either way, the stirrup hoe can just go down the middle. And then once the plants get bigger, I throw down a little bit of preen and grass clippings to hold everything in place. Speaking of grass clippings and leaves, we bought a vacation rental home that we've been fixing up, and I've talked about it a little bit in the podcast. But it's called brofibungalow.com if you want to check it out. But we were so busy last fall that we did not rake up the leaves. And so this spring we were like, oh my gosh, we cannot just mow these up. Like, this is a problem. But it was amazing. So I ended up bagging like 20 giant bags of leaves and then hauling them back to the farm. And they were like dried out and they were the absolute perfect mulch. And so definitely next fall, we're going to plan on, my husband usually bags them up with our bagger on our mower, but then we're actually going to put them in garbage bags as long as they're dried out. Like, we'll leave them open, but then we're going to put them in the basement of our shop over the winter and then have them for the spring. Typically we add them to our compost pile, but I'm like, let's save these for the winter. So excited about that. And then, like I said, we have a bagger for our grass clippings, and that is amazing for the dahlias. Now keep in mind, if you're going to use grass clippings for your dahlias or any sort of mulch to keep the weeds down, if you use grass clippings, spread it out really thin and spread it right away, because if it sits in a pile, it will get hot. Like, it will just be like, it won't be good. It'll probably kill your plants. But spread them out really good so that it's like a thin layer, and then add another layer the next week. So just keep in mind, I don't want you to just like pile hot grass on top of it, because it will get very hot in the center. I don't know if it's nitrogen or what it is, but it's going to get hot. And then I want to talk about staking. So when it comes to staking, I use the big T-posts, like not the skinny ones, but the heavy duty ones that you need a post pounder for. And we will use the corral method. So we will run twine down both sides of the rows and then let the plants support each other in the middle. So even with the fewer rows, so only 2 wide, we'll fit about 120 plants per bed, and the airflow is going to be better. The weeding is going to be easier, and it's actually going to support them when that August storm rolls through. And so I think this is just going to be, even though it's only 2 rows instead of 3, I think this is going to be the sweet spot for us on our farm and what's going to work for us. Now, again, we're talking about farming dahlias, not hobby growing them. You know, when I only had, I mean, I bought 9 tubers of different varieties, 9 different varieties. It was like my Mother's Day gift to myself when I first started, you know, flower farming and really just experimenting with a cut flower garden and happened to sell the flowers. And I used tomato cages for them and it was fantastic. And so if you have 20 or less dahlia plants, and that's what you want to use and see what varieties need staking. And some of them don't, but some of them definitely do. So keep in mind, there's a lot of different ways. Some people actually use netting. I just feel like the corral method is best for us. But the dahlias in the high tunnel, I want to talk about my little experiment. So here's the plan. I planted a couple rows of dahlias in the high tunnel now already, but I'm also, when I pinch the dahlias outside, I am going to take those cuttings and I'm going to root them up in like 6-pack trays. So they're a little bit bigger root system, and then keep them alive. You know, so I'll probably pinch them like, I don't know, second week of June, something like that, once they get tall out in the field. So then I'll take that cutting and hopefully I can keep them alive in the trays for a good month. They don't grow too much with the rootings. And then once our ranunculus finish in the one high tunnel, I'm going to let them die back naturally. That's usually like mid-June. And so then by early July, I collect those corms, I dig them up, I save them because I plant them year after year. Then I'm going to transplant those dahlia cuttings in the high tunnel. Now, I'm going to add a lot of compost before I do it because that tunnel is going to be pretty soil depleted. And then I will make sure the drip lines are in full force because tunnels dry out very quickly. But the goal is to get those late season blooms. So I have noticed that, like in the heat of the summer, the dahlias kind of stall out anyway. So if I transplant into the tunnel in July, I'm hoping that they'll bloom mid to late September, those transplanted ones. So then the goal is then keeping them blooming into late October using frost cloth, closing the high tunnel. And because if that works, then next year I will plant way more tubers in there and get flowers. You know, I could have flowers or dahlias maybe even early August to late October, and it would just be so much worth it. So I would seriously consider adding more tunnels just for this purpose. Like the very basic, like lift the sides up and down 100-foot tunnels. Because here in Zone 4B, when they're outside, they barely start blooming by late August. And if we get a frost by the first week of October, I only have dahlias for about 6 weeks. And I've seriously contemplated just nixing them all together. But now I do like pretty much only early varieties. And, you know, I don't do a lot of specialty ones that I've gotten rid of a lot of the more high maintenance ones or the ones that just aren't prolific bloomers or don't do a lot of tubers just because I know I don't need 4 different white options for weddings. I only need one. I don't need 4 different, you know, hot pink varieties. I only need one. And then trying to really focus on those fall colors. But I'll keep you guys posted if it works. But again, we did the trenching method, the same thing in the high tunnels. And with these little cheap ones, like we just have zippers on the end so we can drive the tractor in and out. And the trencher of the pallet forks just works so great because then we just rake it back in. We set it 18 inches apart. And yeah, it's just pretty good. And then also, I've had a few people, this isn't really relevant in the spring, but people have DM'd me and asked me about dahlia storage. And here's a reminder, like I have multiple podcast episodes about this, including a full one on how I use, you know, the Saran wrap method. But basically, the Saran wrap method adds humidity. Sawdust or vermiculite will take it away. So in our super dry Minnesota winters, I find that the Saran wrap method has worked great to keep tubers from shriveling. And if you go to our blog, remember that, so sunnymarymetalcoaching.com and click on blog. There is a search bar right there on the top and you can type in dahlia and boom, there will be blog posts, episode players, all the resources you need. So if you're searching for something, our blog, we're averaging about 18,000 views a month on our blog, which blows my mind. Like, I feel like, you know, people kind of, oh, how's your little podcast going? I'm like, it's going fantastic, actually. Like the blog and everything, it's all works together. And, you know, they come and they're like, oh, well, I see you only have 800 followers on Instagram. And I'm like, well, yeah, but every single one of those listens to the episode within the first 24 hours. Like we have a top 50 gardening podcast in the world. Like this podcast is doing amazing. The blog is doing amazing. I love sharing about this stuff. I love, you know, just honestly, I love teaching what I have learned, and I am not the expert. And I love researching and I love finding things out. And I truly do believe that for me to be successful, seriously, for Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm to be successful, people keep saying, "Aren't you nervous? There's other flower farms popping up and blah, blah, blah." I'm like, no, it's fantastic because people are recognizing that they don't want imported flowers. They don't want regular flowers. They want better flowers. And yeah, there's always new flower farmers that pop up and they are majorly undercutting me. They are majorly, charging way less than they should be. They're not going to be here for the long term because it's not profitable. Like, trust me, I am not price gouging. I am not, getting rich off of the flowers, off of individual flower sales, but I'm pricing accordingly so that it's sustainable so that I can keep doing it. And so those farmers will either find that they need to raise their prices because they can't afford to keep doing it the way they have been, or they'll quit. And so if people are learning things from me on how to farm more efficiently, and then people are learning about, customers or end consumers are learning, the rising tide rises all ships. So the greater our collective offerings, the more our industry thrives. So thank you so much for being here on the podcast, listening to this episode. There's the scoop on this year's Dahlia setup. So if you're planting your first row or your thousandth tuber, I hope that something in here gave you an idea or saved you a headache. So if you have not followed us on Instagram yet, check out Flower Farmer Forum. We've got some great behind the scenes content going on there. And just threw this out there earlier, if you're planning a trip to Minnesota, check out brophybungalow.com. So it's a fun little lakes getaway. It's about an hour from our farm. But anyway, little plug there. Till next time, bloom and grow, friends. You have got this. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.